Hi, I'm Russell Harrison, the CEO here at Western Health. Welcome to the COVID catch-ups. These are sessions where I get to catch up with small groups of staff from across Western Health in a slightly different way to normal. We ask some questions, we have some fun, answer some questions, and hopefully just have a good conversation.
Welcome to COVID catch-up. It's great to chat to you. There's Terence here, Austin, Nitin, and Cameron, and you're all from Digital Technology Services. So thanks for giving up some of your time today. I know you're all incredibly busy. What I thought I'd start by saying is that hopefully the COVID catch-up will be quite fun for you and you'll have as much fun as I will. I'll put you on warning that you guys have to do most of the work because I'm going to ask you some questions and you've got to answer them. But if you're feeling a bit brave and you know you want to ask a few questions either way, by all means, feel free. I'll start by saying that it's challenging times at the moment and we were hoping to be in the same place, but sadly we can't because of the physical distancing rules that exist. But it's great to be able to chat to you anyway by using some of the new technology we've got. And we'll be putting it on the website so folk can hear it and your colleagues can ridicule you for your answers. What I want to say is thanks for, you know, your continued support and commitment. And the organization's been in a strange place, but I know digital support services and digital technology services have been really busy supporting guys and girls across the organization do different things in, you know, very, very short order. And whilst it's never seen very often, your work is hugely appreciated and is supporting us remain an essential service in Victoria, which is great. So I really appreciate that. So I want to start by saying thank you up front and then get into the questions with you. So I guess if I start with Cameron. Cameron, in digital services, how has our response to COVID and our preparation impacted your work and has it changed as a result of that?
Yeah, it has. Myself and Nitin have been sort of, we've been setting up a lot of the new wards in preparation for COVID. So basically a lot of our normal day-to-day work has sort of been put on hold because obviously the COVID is the priority. Yeah, so basically that's doing our day-to-day work. But then when anything COVID comes up from Frank, who's our team lead, if he says, you know, we've got to get this done, we drop everything right away and then get straight on that. So that, just IT equipment, WOWs, PCs, thin clients, printers of any sort, things like that. So basically just get all that prepped up right away.
Yeah, okay. And is that, you know, you said that your sort of ordinary work, inverted commas, has kind of been put on hold. Is that frustrating or is you kind of just get on with it and deal with it?
No, not really, because we've manoeuvred a way now where we can sort of like when we've got all the preparation for COVID completed, we can just resume our normal daily duties. So part of our other responsibilities is rolling out the new MFD printers across the organization. Yeah. So we just try to basically set up as many as we can in those in-between periods. So it has impacted it a little bit, but it hasn't impacted a large amount.
Yeah. All right, cool. And how about yourself, Terence?
Yeah, it was quite a challenging role for me, Russell. I was made team leader while Oz was away that first week. So that was quite challenging and quite amazing.
Congrats on the team leader. You obviously didn't step back quick enough when you were on holiday.
No, that's right. So I was there. And I just found from an organization, from a perspective, it was great to see how our team leaders worked. They were just amazing from everybody's perspective, I think, Russell. But just they all stood up. And I think everybody stood up from the cleaners outside the share building to the wards. It was basically, to tell the truth, like a war zone for the first couple of weeks there, Russell. It really was. And it was quite challenging, quite scary to come to work. But everybody stood up and we got our jobs done and we all did our tasks and took diversity in our roles. But we all took that challenge and stepped up. So it was quite challenging. I think as a team, we got things done, all of us. We all worked together as a team and it was challenging. But, it was rewarding and scary, I suppose, for me, Russell. That's my perspective of it.
And so why do you reckon it was scary? How did you cope with that?
I just think you walked in, you saw people with masks and you saw the outside, especially sunshine, the COVID queues outside and the people coming in and all the security guards. And it was quite confronting. But I think from leadership, from you calmed us all down. We were sure that everything was being done rightly from all perspectives. That was okay. Then we took steps to make sure we're all covered and we're all okay. It was challenging, but we still did our jobs as well. That's a good thing about it. You know, even my new job still got done.
Yeah. Well, I mean, great, as you say, little jobs got done, big jobs and different jobs. Yeah. So, pretty challenging, I would imagine.
It was.
Nitin, moving on to yourself, how about some of the things that, you know, have been keeping you going during, you know, what has been probably a very stressful and challenging time? You know, the team's having a laugh. Are they still, you know, having a joke, or has it been a bit more somber?
In the beginning, it was a little bit hectic, but I would say with great leadership of Frank and Oz, we get things done and we were having our normal talks, like we cracking jokes and all. Yeah, it was good. Yeah, I would say.
So too busy to get kind of concerned.
Yeah.
But great leadership clearly from Frank and Oz as well.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And how about yourself? Go with Austin first, then we'll go with Cameron.
Yeah, sure, Nora. So look, obviously being on the service desk, we do have to obviously talk to a lot of staff members from all sites every single day. You know, from on a Monday, you know, through to Wednesday, we'll typically get, you know, more than 300 calls throughout the business day. So, you know, we'd be required to answer pretty much a lot of the questions. And myself, coming from the background, initially started here at Western Health with a lot of the remote access accounts. Now that, you know, with, you know, obviously during the COVID situation, a lot of staff members are now working from home and having to rely on that remote access and needing some guidance with their use of their personal devices to be able to, you know, log in and do their work appropriately from home. Obviously, you know, we initially have always had remote access, you know, available as an option for all staff members. However, not all of them do use it because they are, you know, are required to be, you know, at work. But, you know, and so a lot of people who have initially received, you know, the remote access ability, once they've been at home, they've come in and were unsure how to use it. So on the service desk, a lot of our queries have been in regards to this, and we've been able to manage and cope and grab much more of an understanding for with personal devices and the technical constraints of some users. So it's been very interesting to and we've all managed very well. Vanessa, she's been our team lead for quite some time, and she's done a fantastic job on the service desk. Yeah.
And as you say, probably a lot of challenge from people working from home with devices that are sort of not the Western Health-sponsored ones. So you've got to deal with all sorts of, you know, interesting and new tech probably.
Yeah, correct. Exactly, yes.
And also keep the security of the network going, I would imagine, too, and get around that.
Yeah, so that's been that's also been, you know, one of the pushing factors behind all this remote access is ensuring that we obviously keep the security policies that we have in place and keeping them, you know, strict to those guidelines. I think obviously a lot of our cybersecurity team and the server team have been, you know, very heavy into that, as well as us, you know, enforcing those restrictions.
All right, cool. I mean, great that you could sort of flip and support, you know, probably a huge number of people working from home, way more than sort of normal. And actually, it's been very seamless. So it's been a huge credit to you guys for supporting our staff to be able to do that. So well done.
Yeah, thank you.
In terms of, you know, a couple of you have mentioned it's been a particularly difficult situation. It's been confronting because of the things that we've had to do. The hospitals are kind of strangely quiet. And I guess you guys have also been anchored to specific sites rather than a bit more freedom of movement. But have you, and you've mentioned that the sort of leadership of your team leaders has been a particular positive, but have you seen any other positives coming out of the situation? And why don't we start with Terence on this one?
Yeah, I think from a perspective as a team, we really stepped up as a team. I think people working from home, Russell, has been a challenge. There's much more space in the hospital. Yeah, so I think especially people working from home, I think people are really comfortable with that situation. I'm not sure what the long-term process is at Western Health, but that's what I'm really probably seeing. People are very comfortable working at home. It's from a non-medical aspect, I suppose, and gives us more space.
Yeah. How about Austin? From a service desk, what are some of the positives that you've seen?
One of the positives we've I think all of us in the service desk have noticed is the staff members taking the real initiative with understanding their technical understanding. A lot of staff members here now, when they're calling up, if they have an issue, they're very proactive in trying to remember if this issue occurs again, how to fix this, you know, developing an understanding. An instance we had, you know, I think I had yesterday was one of the staff members was working from home. And she was having a few issues in running and she wasn't able to, you know, obviously connect properly. I guided her through how to fix it using Zoom. I was able to, obviously, even though it was her personal device, I was still able to guide her through start to finish how to get that fixed, and she was able to work from there. And now she has that understanding that if this issue does happen again on her personal device, she'd be able to fix it herself.
Yeah,
And that's something that, you know, we take pride in the fact that, you know, staff members are, you know, taking IT, you know, like consideration. Obviously, they understand that technology, it's the new frontier, especially in a hospital sense. So it's pretty good to see that, you know, it's a very positive
Yeah, no, sounds great. So you're teaching people to actually, you know, be able to do things at home and then, you know, take some lessons away about how to fix stuff.
Even Russell, I agree with that, even from an operation perspective, you know, before this, people wouldn't plug their own keyboard and mice and expect the operation team to sort of go up there. But we can talk them over the phone how to plug a keyboard. So people are taking initiative across all of it, I think, across whether it be from home, but also keyboards are changing their own monitors, even moving their computer if they can. So that's one fundamental, I think, that has been a big challenge in people picking up. I agree, Austin.
No, it's great. As you say, that people are getting a bit more self-sufficient and more technologically savvy because it's kind of everywhere in our lives now. We are hugely reliant on it as a hospital now because if the technology goes, we're in trouble. It's become very important very quickly. In terms of the way that things have happened, is there anything that you'd like to tell me about stuff that, you know, the organization has got in the way of you guys doing stuff, or if only we'd remove a little barrier here or tweak something there, it would make your life a bit easier? And yeah, anything you want to share on that basis? And why don't we start with Nitin, but you can all kind of dive in.
I don't think so. Like, even though if we came across some difficult situation, if we escalated to our higher up, and those things got resolved like really quickly. Yeah. And the response time was very good.
Okay.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Like internally, like, you know, even though, you know, a lot of our staff are, you know, working at home, they're still as approachable as what they are as if they're on site. Just to build on what Austin and Terrence were saying before about coming together as a team, I think we've come together as an organization. I think everybody's sort of just working together. And I can just use the 2G and 2H wards as a perfect example. Like, staff on those wards couldn't have made it any easier for us to put in their IT equipment. They labeled everything where they wanted to. They made it very clear. They provided floor plans where everything's to be put. And yeah, they were just great to work with. Like, just they couldn't have made it any easier for us. It was fantastic.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, because usually we make it difficult for you guys by hiding stuff or taking it and moving it. And so you're not put it there.
Not like that, but yeah, it's usually not as easy as those two wards were. They were even just the relocations, like, you know, when, you know, because we've been doing some of the relocations as well, helping out there as well. Staff are just really accommodating. They're just making it as simple as us to basically make that transition to move from office to office. And it's just been really good to see. And, you know, just
Well, that's great. But no secret wish list of things we can change or, you know, keep that have been really handy. You're all too nice.
I think the challenge, Russell, is to make sure we keep on that. They can also, once this all goes away, that people have to still be technical savvy and help us out a bit and try to help. But that'd be probably the challenge going forward. That's from an honest perspective. You know, they can change your own keyboard, not expect us to go back and do it all the time sometimes and leave us other roles to do.
No, I guess that's a fair point. You say if you can get rid of some of those little jobs that people can do themselves, then you can do the more important stuff.
That's right. Yep.
So we're obviously noticing that, like, you know, obviously during this outbreak, a lot of people are, you know, working remotely and all that, and certain changes are being made in terms of, space constraints and all that. Is this something that you possibly see, you know, after, you know, this outbreak is out, that we can continue on with? Is this something that's going to staff members that aren't required 100% to be at work, that are possibly doing only smaller amounts of work at home? Is this something that we can see that working remotely, for example, being done after this outbreak? Is this something that we're going to start relying on more, or is this something that we can, you know, bring back to what was previously the normal?
Yeah, good question. I guess at one sense the people will decide, because it's not just in health where people have had to work from home. Pretty much every industry's had to adapt to it, some better than others. I'm not so sure the homeschooling's going that well, if you've got kids doing that.
Yeah, my wife has three children at home and works very much. It's pretty challenging, Russell, so yeah. Yeah,
I can imagine that her sanity level must be kind of as bad as my wife. So, So I think we're going to have to seriously look at the work from home aspects, because I think people are as productive from home, and it's probably stuff that they would want to do. Now, whether we allow them to do it permanently, or whether they've got they can do a week at home or days at home and flip around, I think that's probably for each individual team to do. But I think the support that you guys have provided to make that ability exist, I think it's going to be hard to turn it off and say you can't do that anymore. And it's probably going to be one of those things going forward that employees will look for in organizations as a sort of point of difference. Can I work from the office and at home and, you know, seamlessly? So I think it's probably here to stay. It's a question of how do we then, you know, work that into, you know, our daily operating rhythm rather than it sort of be an exception. So I guess time will tell, and I guess part of it is going to be me working with Sue Bruce and the various leadership areas to kind of go, well, what does this look like for your area? Is it going to be sensible, et cetera, et cetera? And some staff will hate it and some staff will want to do it. And I think we've got to be able to do both bits. So I get a sense that you guys will be busy ongoing, supporting people working from home on an ongoing way.
Yeah, okay.
I'm interested to get your sense. Obviously, we talked about homeschooling and, but most people have been slightly anxious and sort of, partners and spouses and, families where you live at home and stuff about the fact you're coming to a hospital and therefore you're more at risk of getting COVID because of the environment within which you work. So have you had that anxiety from your families or have you dealt with it? So why don't we start with Cameron?
Well, for me personally, I haven't seen my family in quite some time. So, my parents went to New Zealand they came back the start of February. So I actually haven't seen them since then. But my wife's actually a healthcare worker as well. So she's a nurse. So we're kind of in the same boat. I guess we're just doing all the safety precautions, like, washing our hands pretty much, it feels like every 10 minutes, sanitizing.
you got no skin left.
Exactly. exactly. Social distancing is very.
Don't drink the sanitizer.
Exactly. No, I won't be doing that. But even social distancing, like I'm just really, really cautious. Like whenever I go out to the supermarkets, and I only go there once a week on a Sunday and I'm just, I just keep my distance. I see a lot of people that don't. But for me personally, I just keep my distance. If I see that there's too many people in the aisle, walk around, go through the other aisle, and take the back way to get what I need. It's like,
fair enough. And how about yourself, Terrence?
I've got a young family, so that's been a bit challenging. My wife works at home, so the younger ones are a bit concerned. But I explained that we're going through the right procedures and processes at the hospital. And it's pretty safe, so okay. My mother's in a nursing home, and I can't go near that place for long. That's a bit challenging for me. So
that must be a bit tough.
Yeah, it is. I haven't seen it probably the last 6 weeks. That's quite a bit challenging, but I won't even go there. I think they're allowing people now, but from a health perspective worker, I won't go and see it. But the kids are a bit anxious, but I educate them to say what's going on. They're okay now. But first couple of weeks was challenging.
Yeah, and Austin, yourself?
Look, my family, so my mom's a teacher. She works at a kindergarten. And, all teachers are still going back to, back to school. And I know she was mentioning that she only has like maybe one or two, kids a day. But unfortunately, just given the circumstances, she's still required to go to school. They've made a lot of changes in regards to even down to cleaning the windowsill every 2 hours they have to clean the windowsill, even though those kids can't reach said windowsill. It's just a requirement. My dad's working from home. He's been working. He's got himself a laptop and a few monitors he's taken from my room. So,
he's taken my
screens away, but oh well. And my sister, she works more in the entertainment industry. So obviously she hasn't been able to, have much work at all because, where she was doing, kids parties and all that, that's all stopped dead in its tracks. So, and she's still a uni student as well. So she's doing a lot of uni classes from home. Yeah. So we've all adapted. Look, I'm not going outside of the house, at all. Essentially, as soon as I get home, that's it for the day for me, really. Like maybe I'll go and pick up, some, takeaway food if I'm having takeaway food that day. But that would be, as far as I'd go for it, really.
Yeah. No, fair enough. I mean, so that sort of approach, whilst it's been really tough on families and community generally, that sort of physical distancing bit's probably saved off a lot of extra grief and saved a lot of lives. So, whilst it's been hard yards, I'm sure, and everyone's going through the same thing, it's kind of, it's important to keep doing it until we start to lift the restrictions.
Yeah, absolutely.
I kind of thank our lucky stars every day and the hard work that we've all done that we haven't got a situation, sadly, like Italy or the UK or Europe where it must just be, really, really challenging.
Yeah, especially over in northern Italy as well, but then extended off to the rest of Italy where it just, it's just essentially comes down, it can come down to even culture as well. Yeah. My background, I have an Italian background and a lot of it is, kissing each other goodbye and goodbye, always being very affectionate towards each other and, I guess that's probably the prime breeding grounds for, the virus. So it was less than ideal for it. And that applies to a lot of Europe as well. So it would definitely affect them a lot easier than it would have, to us. In Australia, we don't necessarily do the whole kissing and hugging, hi and goodbye like a lot of, the European countries do. And so for us, it was a lot easier for us to contain. We're also, by then, also a lot more aware. I guess awareness has probably been the big driving factor for us, in Australia. We've had plenty of, different countries that were being much more harshly affected than us that you know, provided, you know, hey, this could be us, you know, so.
Yeah, pretty cool. And I guess that worked a lot, didn't it? As the media coverage ramped up, as you were saying, a few weeks ago, and it was all very new and it was challenging. It probably was a very confronting space for everybody.
Yeah.
Even, you know, coming to hospital, as you say, as staff members coming through the security guard screening and temperature checks and all those kind of things, it's a very different world for us.
Yeah. So much has changed.
So, guys, it's kind of almost the end of the chat. So have you got any kind of burning issues or any questions you've got left that you want to pose, or are you all done?
No, just thank you, Russell, from a leadership perspective for all of you. From the top down, I think everyone's been an amazing job. It's an amazing place to work, Russ. It really is at the moment. So just for me, yeah.
Thanks, guys. I'm really biased. I think this is the best health service in the world. But, you know, I'm very biased and very, rose-tinted. But, you know, as I say, it's been a great thing. And I think as you've all said, but as Terrence started with, the whole organisation has lifted together as one, which is kind of what Western Health does all the time. And I think it's really important we don't take that for granted, but it's the hard work that everyone does. And, you know, behind the scenes, the digital technical service group, if I call you guys that, you know, do a huge job. And it's really appreciated by all of us. It's often not seen, as I said earlier, but we can't function without you. And I think the fact that you've been able to set up, you know, new wards and support huge numbers of staff working from home very seamlessly, yeah, it's great credit to you and the work of you and your colleagues. So, yeah, huge thanks and well done, guys. Keep going and stay well.
Thank you very much, Russell.
I just want to quickly say thanks to just pretty much everyone in the organisation, especially like, you know, the doctors as well, that during these times they obviously still have to take care of, you know, all the, I guess, the more frequent issues, you know, people, you know, coming in with different issues, like, you know, if they have any, you know, broken arms, for example, they still have to go about, you know, BAU, still business as usual for them.
Yeah.
Especially to the management staff as well. You know, I think it was Nathan that mentioned earlier with Cam, with you know, thanking Frank and Oz who have been very, you know, the driving force to being able to set up, you know, these new wards very effectively, very efficiently. You know, Vanessa from the, you know, services team, which she's really stepped up in the, especially the past few months in regards to all this crisis. You know, with the applications team, they look after, obviously, you know, with IPM and many other applications that many staff use day to day. Bianca and Peter, they're the two team leads there. So I just want to give it a big quick shout out to all of them to say thanks for that. Thanks for their efforts.
Yeah, I think Russell, especially the server team, Russell, for remote getting people to learn, that was a big, big task for that server team to do that, Russell. And they've done an amazing job on that aspect. And, you know, they special recognition for what they've done for me.
No, well, it's like we couldn't function without the whole team and everyone's as important as the other. I often make a sort of statement at the orientation bit that there's only two types of staff at Western Health. There are those that put hands on patients and do the sort of things that you guys have been saying day in, day out, but the important group is also those that support that. And, you know, all the people you've mentioned and you guys are definitely in that second bit, and they couldn't do their job without you. So, you know, well done, guys, and great leadership in your space. So thank you. And so have a good one. And stay focused and stay safe.
Thank you.
Thanks, Russell. You too. Thanks, Russell.
All the best, guys. Catch you later.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to the COVID Catch-Ups. And please feel free to share any of these episodes with any of your colleagues who you think might be interested.